Hi, I'm Gina and I'm alcoholic. Really grateful to be here. Let me just fix my camera and let me apologize in advance if my puppy, my 75-pound puppy, barks. He sometimes gets, a little upset when the mailman comes. So I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be sober. I'd like to welcome all the people that said they were new, that raised their hand and acknowledged their time. I'd like to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous and let you know that your life will never, ever be the same again. Prior to getting to Alcoholics Anonymous, when it got bad, which was pretty quick in my life, I was drinking on a daily basis. And I still got here with the attitude that it wasn't that bad, but I was drinking every day. And if I wasn't drinking that day, I was trying to figure out how I could get the next one, what I needed to do, what time, I still had a job. I worked for the phone company. I was a telephone operator. And I was trying to figure out working around my schedule. And it was just hard work trying to figure it out, and I just never thought that I had a problem with alcohol. I had little, maybe sometimes I went a little overboard, but it really wasn't that bad. And I kind of got to Alcoholics Anonymous with that attitude, that it really just wasn't all that bad, and I had to really take an honest look at my conduct and my behavior. I grew up in a relatively lower middle class, normal dysfunctional family. And I say that because I don't know one family that is functional anywhere in the world that's totally a functional family. Everybody has their stuff. And, my father, I don't believe he was an alcoholic. I think he was a heavy drinker. He drank on Friday night, Saturday night, and he slept it off Sunday and went to work on Monday. My mother was a teetotaler. She had a glass of Manischewitz wine or a quarter of a glass of Manischewitz wine on Christmas Day. Concord grape, I'll never forget. The kind that they give you in communion, or they used to give you in communion. And when I was living with my parents, when it got tough, I drank that because it was left in the cupboard. So I would drink that, and then I put a little water in it so they didn't know that I had drank their stuff. My father drank white liquor, so I put a little water in that, so he wouldn't know that I had drank all his stash, just, but that was normal behavior. So I thought, and I did a lot of other things. This is Alcoholics Anonymous, but when I got sober, I was 29 years old. So a lot of my young life was getting loaded, drinking and doing other things. And so I did a lot of other things. And as a result of doing other things all night long, I called an 800 number and they directed me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't even remember what this lady's name was. I just know that I had this yellow Volkswagen that was all beat up because I couldn't quite stop, I would hit curbs and run into posts and things like that and had all these dents in it. And I remember somehow they put me in touch with her and she told me to pick her up. And I picked this woman up. She was a little short lady, had long blonde hair. It looked like she was about 17 months pregnant. And she took me to my very first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, which was at a hall in Hawthorne, California. And I went in there. That was around 1985. I knew I was in there. I'm not quite sure what happened. I'm not quite sure if I ever really stopped drinking at that time, And then later I went to another meeting at a hospital and I bought the big book. Now I'm an avid reader, so I immediately went to the stories in the back and I found it very interesting. By this time, I'm living back at home. I've left husband number one and I'm living back at home and I wanted to, my mother would go in my room when I was not there. My room was the den. And so she would go in there and read. So I had to hide the book way down in the bureau just in case, they came across it and thought I had a problem. So I'm sorry, I've heard about these people blasting Zoom calls, but I've never really experienced it. These people that get on and do all kind of crazy stuff. And so I just that kind of distracted me for a minute there. But I've heard about that, but never saw it. But so I'm going to Birch. So January 2nd, 1987, I was invited to an after New Year's Eve party. And so, of course, I had to get ready to get ready. I was drinking while putting on my makeup and I had invited a couple of different guys, they all showed up. I didn't even, I think when I invited one, I forgot I invited one and invited another, and they all came, and it was a hot mess. And a lot of incomprehensible, demoralizing things happened that night. And I remembered that I had been to Birch over there in Hawthorne, and I remembered where that was. So I started going over there the next day, January 3rd. And it was amazing to me because I just couldn't understand what was really going on. I think those people actually let me share. I had 5 days or 9 days or something like that. I don't even know what I said, but I was in there. And I remember on Friday nights, they would have dances. And I went to the dances and it was country and Western music. And I thought, oh my God, is this what my life has come to? Nothing against country and Western, just not my thing, right? And it was just, I went anyway. Because by this time, a lot of bad things were happening. I couldn't just go to happy hour and have a couple of drinks and go home, like a normal drinker, whatever that is. It always ended up me with me. That part in the book when it says you're pounding on the bar, that's what I ended up doing. It got to the point where the bartenders would say, you know what? That's it. No more for you. I couldn't just have a glass of wine at dinner. I couldn't go to a champagne brunch and have a half a bottle or half a glass of champagne. I had to have the whole bottle. And if there was some of them left on your table, I'd have to have some of that too. It was like one was too many and 1,000 was not enough. You know what I mean? So by that time, that's how it was for me. Drinking was a real issue for me, but I still got here with that attitude that it just wasn't that bad. I started going to Birch, and I remember I met this lady named Beverly, who is my female sponsor today, and she was going to a meeting on Sunday mornings at a place called Crenshaw Alano Club in Los Angeles. And so I went over there and I saw all these men in there that had Mercedes Benzes and Rolls Royces, and I thought, oh God, yes, this is where I belong. I need to be here. And I met my male sponsor, Tony. Tony had about 3 years of sobriety when I met him, and I had maybe not even 30 days. And I wanted him to be my boyfriend. I thought he was cute. And he would say, no, God wants us to be friends. And Tony taught me about meditation and prayer. We became very good friends. Tony died in May of last year with 42 years of sobriety, and he was my sponsor until the day he died. And I will never, ever, be able to repay him or any of the people that were a part of my early recovery. I'll never be able to repay those people. Most of them have gone on to the big meeting in the sky. So because I'm lazy and I don't really, I'm inherently lazy and I don't feel like doing anything, I stopped going to meetings all the way in LA because I'm living in Compton, and I started going to 435, which was a little shack, if you will, and it had roaches that were about 3 inches big and it had mice. But I was in there, and that is where I got my foundation. And the people in that room saved my life. They told me to keep coming back no matter what. They told me that I could stop right now. I could stop right now. I didn't, even if I wanted to get loaded, I just didn't have to. I didn't understand how my life was going to go on without drinking and doing other things because everything that I did, work, romance, whatever it was, included alcohol, something to take my, to get my head right. That's what I thought, get my head right. Some of the people that, when they say the fellowship of the spirit, those people that were there when I got there, they are my fellowship of the spirit. I hear them say things like, we don't drink no matter what. That was something that was big in my hall. 435 Compton Group. We don't drink no matter what. I got married again and divorced in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't drink. I wanted to commit homicide. I wanted to hire a hitman, especially when that lawyer told me that I was going to have to pay alimony, but I didn't have to drink. My parents died 5 months apart. I didn't have to drink. My brother died at 43 years old because the hospital screwed up and he died. I didn't have to drink. You know, a lot of things have happened in my life that I just didn't have to drink. Some of my dearest friends have died as a result of cancers and different things. I didn't have to drink, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. And I didn't know that I could live my life alcohol free. You know, I want to tell you that if you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous and you're struggling, just keep coming. There's one of the old timers in my hall, his name was Joel. Joel would say, even if you take a drink, wind your way back. Just come back, you know. And I left in when I came in 1985 there, I don't know if I stopped drinking, but I know I came back in 1987 and I've been sober ever since that time, January 3rd of 1987. But I keep doing the things that they told me to do. They told me to keep crossing the threshold. They told me to continue to work with others, and they told me to be of service. I do those three things. Those are the things that I do sometime later, you know. I'm afraid that if I don't do what they told me to do, I'm gonna get loaded, you know. I know some people that had double digits and they took a drink, you know. It's not a choice for me, you know. I cannot drink no matter what, you know. I know that I suffer from this disease. It centers in my mind and it will tell me at any given time, was it really that bad? You know, they got some new stuff out there. They got this new drink out there. Maybe you could try. I mean, these are the things that go on in my head, you know, but I don't drink no matter what, you know, and I keep doing what they told me to do. The people that are gone, the people that are here, and the new people, you know, who helps who? Some of my sponsees, they help me, you know. I'm not so much where, you know, I got all this time and I, you know, I got the answer. I remember I used to go to marathon meetings or speaker meetings, and especially if a person had as much time as I have today, oh my God, I had to sit in the front. They were going to drop these pearls of wisdom and they were going to tell me how to do this thing called life. You know, they had the answers. So I thought, you know, they were just a drunk like me. You know what I mean? Because I certainly don't think I have the answers. You know, I'm struggling with my own stuff. You know what I mean? And I believe in sponsorship. I have a sponsor today, my female sponsor that is still my sponsor, has known me from the very beginning. For a while there, I got another female sponsor, but she's been my sponsor again, I'd say the last 10 years or so. But Tony was always with me. Tony knew everything there was to know about me, even when he moved away from California and he was in Virginia. Sometimes I didn't want to call him because he would tell me the truth. Well, sometimes I, you know, I didn't want to talk to him, but he was my friend and he was my sponsor. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what it takes for anybody to stay sober. I knew what it took for me. And it was a lot of keep coming back. It was a lot of self-honesty. You know, I had to tell myself the truth. If I don't tell anybody else the truth, I have to tell myself the truth. You know, and working with others. And I just sometimes I'd come in the hall and it was like, oh, I'd get to a meeting, I'd be like, oh God, I can just rest now. I can relax. I can woo-saw. You know what I mean? I can just be okay, you know. The people in Alcoholics Anonymous are my people, you know. I've never been anywhere where, no matter where I go, I'm just welcome. I go to the international convention every 5 years, and everybody I come in contact with, I hug, they hug me. It's just like, you know, I'm welcome. I've been to meetings in other countries, and I'm welcome as the flowers in May. It doesn't matter what I look like, you know, I'm welcome as the flowers in May, you know. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life forever. You know, it will never, ever be the same again. And I'm grateful for that. You know, the way that I was living is I was hanging out in sordid places with sordid people doing sordid things. You know, that's what that's in a you know, in a nutshell, you know. And I didn't see any way up and out of that. And even with that, my ego told me, which I thought was something that was reserved for men only. Women didn't have egos. My ego told me, was it really that bad? It was really that bad, you guys. It was really that bad. You know, things that I said I would never do happened, you know, and I made excuses in my mind why that had to happen, you know. Today, you know, I'm as honest with myself as I possibly can be. You know, I'm honest with you know, I help others, you know. I would say the most valuable thing that I have achieved in Alcoholics Anonymous is a relationship with a loving God, because the way that I was raised is God was a punishing God, and if you're a bad little girl, God's gonna get you. And I had definitely been a bad little girl, you know. So I would say that's the most valuable thing. Other than that, it's my relationship with women, because when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, you guys were a bunch of bees, and I didn't want to have nothing to do with you because you was going to take my man. I didn't have one, but if I'd had one, you were going to try to take it. That's how I felt about it, you know. And I didn't have relationships with I had one friend, Michelle, and we were little girls together. She wasn't an alcoholic, she was a normie. That was the only female friend that I needed. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I gravitated towards the men. I felt like I could talk to them. They understood me. Lord have mercy. You know, some of the old timer women rallied the wagons around me and explained a few things to me about that, you know, and I'm so grateful for those women, you know. They saved me, you know. So I keep coming back because my life is better than it's ever been, in spite of a lot of things going on around. There's a lot of things going on right now around me that are not the most positive things. But guess what? I didn't pass out last night. And I didn't come to this morning. That's a miracle. I don't know about anybody else, but I did a whole bunch of passing out and coming to. And I would come to and wake up and wonder, what the hell? What did I do? What happened? And who are you? You know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. If I don't get anything else, that's a big one. I don't have to pass out at night, and I don't have to come to in the morning wondering what happened. Where am I? Where are my keys? What did I do to embarrass myself and everybody that was there with me? You know, because I did a lot of, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a lot of incomprehensible demoralization. A lot of that. So I thought. And then I got here and I started hearing other people's story, particularly the women, and I realized my stuff really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. And then I'm going to say this in closing. One of the things that one of my AA mentors, Aura Diaz, said, she said, "You know what, Gina? The only reason that you may experience the things that you experienced prior to getting sober, and even after you're sober, because some stuff has gone on since I've been sober. I've been sober 39 years, so some stuff has gone on. Some bad decisions. You know, I've been divorced. You know, a bunch of things have gone on." So she said, "The only reason might be that somebody, some woman, is going to come in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she might even look like you." And you're going to be able to share with her how you came up and out of that situation. That may be the only reason that you experienced that. And somehow that just made it like, oh, okay, all right, well, I can deal with that. You know, if God wants to use me as a channel to help somebody, you know, it's about my experience, strength, and hope that I can help somebody that I went through that too. I made that decision too. And look here, this is what happened. And I'm on the other side of that now. And my life is good in spite of, because I'm not perfect. I make some choices and some decisions sometimes that are not so good, you know.
2 minutes, friend.
Thank you. But I keep coming back and I do what they told me to do 39 years later. And I expect if I stay sober, which I plan to, and I live, which I plan to for a little while anyway, some other stuff is going to go on, you know. But if I don't drink, if I just don't drink, they told me that help is on the way. And I believe that. I believe them when they told me that. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for letting me share.